Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/bookgeeksunc. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, listeners of Book Geeks Uncompromised, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. This week, I want to recommend a book whose third book was just released. That's The Legends of the First Empire by Michael Sullivan. The first book is Age of Myth. It's a nice romp through an epic fantasy world. I mean, it's everything you'd expect with elves and humans, and the humans are, what would you say, not quite Stone Age. I mean, they have villages.
More barbaric.
Yeah, they're more barbaric. They live very much in village life with no big cities or anything. It's very clans.
Very much clan-based. Yeah, no central government. No central government, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good read. I'm looking forward to getting to the third book in that series, so definitely check that out. That was Legends of the First Empire is the name of the series. The first book is Age of Myth by Michael J. Sullivan. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/bookgeeksunc. Again, that's audibletrial.com/bookgeeksunc for your free audiobook.
Welcome to Book Geeks Uncompromised.
The entire series.
I don't know what it was about this book. I loved it so much.
How do I know more about it than you do? And it's your number
one
book.
I'm bad with names, okay?
Spoilers, gosh.
And we are ready for some reading.
When in doubt, be lame.
Everyone buckle in. Welcome to Book Geeks Uncompromised, where we make reading less solitary. This week, we read Where Loyalties Lie by Rob J. Hayes.
That is it. And yeah, you sound a little bit tired.
Episode 83, by the way. we're both a little tired. We're recording at 9 in the morning because of being up till like midnight from our LAN party.
Yeah, we had a LAN party at New Main Brewing last night, and it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun with it, a couple hiccups, and very much a learning experience. Yeah. But we had a good time, so we were up ridiculously late.
And it's not too much book-related, but if you don't know what a LAN party is, it's where a bunch of people bring their computers, we all hook up in the same room and just play video games together. So it was a good time. We met at a brewery called New Main, like you said, and it was a good time. A lot of fun.
Yeah, we did have a lot of fun. But if we sound a little bit exhausted, that's the source of that exhaustion. Also, there might be a little bit of background noise.
Yeah.
It's July.
It's hot.
It's really hot outside.
Even 9 in the morning.
So we had to leave our AC unit on, our air conditioning, because it was just, it's already, 90 degrees, and it's not even 10 o'clock in the morning yet.
Yeah, starting next week, though, we're going to be more inside the house than where we are now.
Yeah, that'll be
so
fixed. If not next week, then for sure the week after that.
Yeah, for sure the week after that, then that will not be a problem.
Nope. But up until now, we've just sort of sweating it out, but we're...
Not today. Been through too much today.
Okay, so things that happened this week. The Gimmel Awards was announced.
I'm so happy.
Kings of the Wild went and swept up two awards. One for the Morningstar Award, which is Best Debut. Yep. Went to Nicholas Deems. And then the Ravenheart Award, which is Best Cover Art, went to Richard Anderson, who made the cover for, drumroll,
Kings of the Wild.
So that went and swept up two. It's an amazing cover and a great book. So, yeah. I mean, there's... Yeah. Nothing to argue about that.
I think it was
Best Book.
It was just Best Book because the Morningstar is all debut authors.
Right.
So this was more of just the Best Book.
Right. So the Legend Award went to Assassin's Fate by Robin Hobb.
That's not bad. That's a good book.
As much as everybody was talking about it, which we haven't read it yet because it's so far down the line
in
the series.
Oh, okay. My brain.
Yeah, she has multiple series set in the world. So Assassin's Fate was part of the newest one, the newest series.
Okay, very cool. Well, good for her as well. I know, especially with Kings of the Wild, well-deserved. I'm really happy that he won. That Eames won both of those.
Yeah, but other authors are sitting around like, can he stop winning all the awards yet? Like, good for him, but can you just stop?
Well, Bloody Rose is about to come out, so we'll see.
But that won't be up for all the debut awards.
True. He'll be out of the debut ones.
we got half the year left. Yeah. Looking forward to seeing what other debut authors come up this year, because it hasn't seemed quite as heavy is last year. But then I think a lot of those debut authors came out in the fall.
Yeah, a lot of them are around in the fall time. So
we've still got half the year to see.
Still got half the year. There's plenty more that might be on the way out.
Because right now I think Rebecca Kwong with The Poppy War is kind of kicking doors down. And
yeah, with debut.
It's kind of kicking everything out of the park.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the list of books that have come out this year. But yeah, that's the only one I can think of top of my head, debut author.
Yeah, debut author.
Which, you know our opinion on that. We like that one.
Yeah, we like that one. Okay, so there was one article that I found kind of interesting, and it was a little bit of a follow-up from what we were talking about last week with movie adaptations and TV adaptations. So research from the Publishers Association in the UK shows that movies based on books make more money in the box office than those based on original screenplays or other media.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's not surprising, but like, it was a follow-up to what we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Because you look at a regular movie where it's some people are like, oh, I kind of want to see that. If you do one adapted from another source, you already have fans from that source.
You already have an audience for
it. Yeah, you already have an audience for it. And some of those audience maybe don't usually go to the movies. Yeah. But now they're going to go for this. So right. I think you're getting those extra people who don't usually go to the movies. They're also coming along with the other people.
Maybe. I think also it's word of mouth gets around. So true. It's, no, this book is really good. So even if they have friends that don't read, they hear that, oh, no, that story is really good. So they'll
give it a chance.
Not going to
read
it,
so go watch it. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Right.
So it gets both word of mouth and just in ready-made audience for it already.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. That doesn't surprise me at all.
I was kind of surprised, though. Apparently, they make 44% more money in the UK, 53% globally.
Wow.
That seems like a lot, right?
That is a lot. Like, that's more than I thought it would be. I thought it'd be a small increase bump.
Maybe like 15, 20%.
Yeah, yeah. Not that big of a bump. Yeah. That's crazy.
Almost half as much again.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know. I know that apparently I'm going to go see The Meg. I don't think that's based on a book.
That's not
the
based on a book.
The movie about the Megalodon. Like, that's, who would write that, right?
That, yeah. I'm sure there is. I'm sure we could find a fantasy book about a big shark.
Do it.
Yep.
We're
let's
doing
find it.
It. If any of you fans... have fantasy, anything about Megalodon that's fiction. Well,
if any of you fans know of a book that is about a giant shark, not Jaws, it has to be original. I want it to be original writing. Give it to me. I want it. We'll review it.
Yeah, no, Jordan's all excited to go see that one. And I want to see it. I don't know if I would rush to go see it.
Yeah.
But I do want to see it.
I might watch it when it's out in theaters. Or not in theaters. Out at home, like on DVD or online.
I mean, I have like the lowest of expectations for it.
Oh, 100%. But I still want to see it. I think everyone does. Yeah. I think literally everyone going to see it has the lowest expectations.
How do you sign on to make that, hey, the people that are going to watch this are going to have very low expectations? Maybe as well, we can't let them down. If they go in with super low expectations, we can't let them down.
Oh, geez. So, yeah, that's definitely not adapted from a book. That one's going to be interesting. That's going to be interesting.
Well, that's really it for news. We're a little bit short on that this week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not a whole lot happened. Congratulations once again to Nicholas Eames.
Yep.
We're halfway through 2018, so maybe we're done with the 2017 awards.
Possibly. You never really know. That may go all the way through to December.
That's possible. Of course, in November, we'll start getting the Goodreads Choice Awards for 2018.
So,
and I'll complain about that again.
We'll complain about how some script for a play is going to win something.
Well, and how books that come out in December get no chance.
Right, right.
So, there's that.
We'll save that rant for December, though.
But no, speaking of awards, we read this week the winner of the Spiffbo 2017 Award.
Yes.
So Where Loyalties Lie by Rob J. Hayes won the self-published fantasy blog-off hosted by Mark Lawrence. Just a month ago, I think it was announced that
I
it
think
won,
so.
Something like
yeah.
that, about a month ago.
Yeah,
and
it was right around the time we read Grey Bastards.
I don't know why we didn't pick it up.
I don't know.
When it was announced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. Well, it was more of, I think, just us making time for it.
Yeah.
But we got to it as soon as we could, and we're glad we did.
Okay, so let's jump into the synopsis. Once again, spoiler-free, as always. Mm-hmm. So this is the first book in the Best Laid Plan series. Everybody knows Captain Drake Morris?
I think it's Morris.
Everybody knows Captain Drake Morris is only out for himself. As the fires of a dying city burn on a distant shore, Drake sees an opportunity to unite the other pirate captains under his flag and claim a crown for himself. If he is to succeed, he will need allies and the Oracle named Keelan Stillwater, the best swordsman in the Isles, as his right hand. With enemy ships sailing his waters and setting fire to his cities, and the sinister Tanner Black threatening to steal the throne before Drake even has a chance to sit upon it, Drake Morris must somehow convince the other captains that his best interests are also theirs. That, I mean,
I don't think Drake would have minded you calling him Morass. He'd be okay with it. He'd probably be all right with it. He's like, yes, ma'am.
Anything you want to add to that synopsis?
No, I definitely like it. By the reading of that, it definitely makes Drake the main character, but I feel like Keelan kind of is.
I think Drake is a little bit more center stage than Keelan is, but there is definitely sharing the spotlight.
There's definitely sharing. Yeah, Keelan's not mentioned very much. And one other thing, I guess we'll get more into this when we talk about characters, but it notes Keelan's the best swordsman in the seas. Mm-hmm. You don't really see that much book, unfortunately. I mean, he's cunning, he's smart, he thinks things thorough, he's very smart, but you don't see his swordplay very much.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately.
That's true. I mean, I guess the rest of it, so there's, we'll set up the world just a little bit. So there's the Pirate Isles, which from what it sounded like to me, kind of sits between two other kingdoms, the Sarth and the Five Kingdoms.
Yeah.
So they kind of sit between them and like to, you know, take shots at all the merchant ships that pass between and, you know, pirate.
Right.
Right?
Pirates.
So I guess it starts out with, what'd they say? They thought Sarth was the one attacking some of the towns in the Pirate Isles. So yeah.
Drake saw a town burning down and was there, and now he's gone around to try to collect everyone else and go, they're gonna murder us all.
Yeah, so let me be king.
Right.
That
I mean, that really sets up the world right there, I guess.
Other than that, it's very much a pirate.
Yeah.
Pirate book.
And one of the coolest things I find interesting, because when you think pirates, you think, you know, cannons, you think black powder, you think explosions. It's really not used. Black powder is rare. It's expensive.
Yeah, no, you were commenting on that while we were reading it, was every time they start fighting each other on ships, they just go straight to boarding everybody. They don't start just shooting and firing. Yeah. And I think there's two reasons for that. There was another one that I forgot to mention when we were talking.
Yeah.
One was that they make a few comments that the gunpowder is so expensive, because they said, like, what, a barrel of it was like worth a fortune.
Yeah, yeah.
So a barrel was a lot. Yeah. You don't want to use a whole bunch on one cannonball.
Yeah.
Also, it seemed like they spent a lot of time trying to capture those other ships.
True.
In a lot of cases. So if you're shooting them, you're sinking them, and then whatever is on them is sinking as well.
Yeah, but you think about it with their like the merchant ships themselves. And now I don't know much about actual boats from way back when.
You're not an expert.
I'm not an expert on nautical things. But I would expect the merchants to have cannons then, and then be shooting. Oh, they're boarding us. Put holes in their ship, you know, kind of thing. But again,
that's why they have a complement of soldiers.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I'm sure that's how it was done before black powder in our time was widely used. I'm sure that's how boats were. Because they were used that way, is you just put more soldiers on deck.
But they have a few firearms that uses the black powder,
Some people do use pistols and rifles, but they're rare.
Yeah.
Again, they're very rare. It was just a cool and interesting way to see pirates, because I think guns and explosions and shooting.
Right.
And they couldn't do that because of all the reasons explained. So I thought that was a cool twist on the world as well.
Okay. I guess while we're on the topic, let's go ahead and just go into world building.
Yeah.
I definitely want more books, because I felt like there was mention of so many different areas. There was the Drur that was mentioned, which I think were south. There's the Five Kingdoms and Sarth. And we mostly heard about them. We didn't get to see much
of
them.
You saw some people from them, but beyond that, because you met a couple of the Dur. One of the captains that works with Drake and Stillwater is, he's from the Five Kingdoms. He's an old Five Kingdom, I think an ex-soldier that turned to piracy, basically. I don't know if Beck, the Arbiter, I don't know if she's from Sarth. I can't remember where the Inquisition's from.
Oh, I don't remember.
Because that's one thing we hadn't talked about. The Inquisition is kind of like a religious order that
with
can
magic.
Use with magic.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Beck, she's an Arbiter who works for the Inquisition. She was sent by one of the leaders to protect Drake.
Yeah.
She doesn't know why. She was just told to go. Drake knows why, due to background story reasons. But she has the power to, I think she has multiple powers, but at least the one you see most often is she can convince people to tell the truth.
Yeah.
She kind of magics you and then you spit up whatever truth it is.
Yeah.
Actually, it was kind of funny when, Stillwater first meets her, Keelan, cause she does it to him instantly and he's like, fucking bitch, no, don't do that. Like he there, I think there's something background with him as well against the Inquisition, but.
Right.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, world building, I mean, the only really comment I have on it is that I think we need to see more. I think we really just explored the Pirate Isles in this, and a lot of other stuff was touched on.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to read more in this series to experience more of the world. I hope that it branches out and you get to see more than just the Pirate Isles.
Oh, for sure. I would love to go see the different kingdoms and see how these pirates deal with those other kingdoms. For whatever reason, maybe they have to go to them.
Mm-hmm. As far as the magic system goes so far...
There really isn't one.
Well, okay, there is magic, so there has to be a magic system.
Yeah.
But it's not one that's, like, super well-defined. It's just sort of, and these people are necromancers, and these people can do other things.
Yeah, and I think...
That didn't bother me while reading it, though. It was one where it just kind of worked.
I think with this, though, you gotta think of it in the way of the viewpoint from Killian's point of view. He has no idea what it does.
That's true.
I don't know if we ever see from Beck's point of view. I don't know if we do. We may
I
once or twice.
I don't think so, because we only ever see her when it's from
Drake's
point of view.
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't ever have anybody that's point of view where they know what the magic system is. I mean,
that's
maybe
true.
Drake does. Maybe
Drake might know more.
Drake might know more. He seems to know a lot of things that he's not telling.
It wasn't used in a way that...
That demanded
that felt
us.
Forced.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't used in a way that demanded more explanation for how it worked. It was used in just sort of a common sense magic way, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly. Yeah, I think if we get farther into the books and maybe if we get deeper into more magics or we go to the Inquisition at some point and learn about their different... Because I don't think they have just one power. I think they have multiple and many and different people can do different things. So if we head that way, maybe it'll dive into it more.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it was a good intro to slowly kind of dip our feet into the water.
Yeah.
You saw Beck with hers. You saw the Durr using necromancer magic. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I have to say that since we've been playing Sea of Thieves for the past couple months, because that came out in March? I believe it came out in March. Like, since then, I've been looking for just a good ocean-based, ships and pirates and everything kind of book, and this definitely satisfied
it. Fully
I mean, I've been looking around. I tried Treasure Island. Island didn't satisfy it. You know, we read The Mermaid, and that didn't quite hit it.
No, it wasn't there.
But Where Loyalties Lie did kind of hit because it had the pirates. It had a Leviathan. It had mean ocean creatures.
It had gods.
It had gods. Yeah. It had pirates working together, and it was kind of in a Pirates of the Caribbean thing where it's not about treasure, it's about something else.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel like a cliche pirate story. It was very much its own thing.
Yeah. I tried to, just because Pirates of the Caribbean is always what I'm compare pirate things to. I tried to fit the characters in with Pirates of the Caribbean characters. Like, I saw Drake as a little bit Captain Jack. Just a little bit ambitious,
maybe
a more ambitious Captain Jack.
A more ambitious and slightly less drunk.
Yes, slightly less drunk. I definitely saw Keelan as maybe if William Turner had been a pirate from the beginning.
Maybe.
If he'd been a pirate from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because he's got a little bit of honor to him. He's not, he's not 100% a douchebag. I mean, he'll stab a guy from looking him wrong, but... But he's still got some honor to him.
We didn't see a Davy Jones, though.
We didn't see a Davy Jones, though. Tanner Black kind of is a Davy Jones.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
I think these are stretching just a little bit.
They are 100%. But because I love Pirates of the Caribbean, I fit it to everything Pirates.
I really, honestly, I don't want to compare us to Pirates of the Caribbean too much.
It's
They're both
different.
Pirate stories.
It's
but
different.
No, they are different.
They are very different in their own ways. Especially like with the gods thing, and that's one thing I wanted to talk about is I love that the sea goddess, I assume it was Rin. And I love that Arbiter Beck, she worships a different god.
Was
I don't remember his
name.
Volmar, something like that. I know it started with
I should have written it down, but I didn't.
Yeah. But she worships him, which the Inquisition, I think they solely worship him. And while they're out on the boat, she keeps saying his name, and Drake keeps telling her, stop, don't do it. And there's one point when she says it, and the boat actually kind of like creaks, and that's when they look out, and there's a giant black shadow.
Yeah, I have a Leviathan found them.
There's something under the water, and Drake's like, "See, this is why you stop." And Beck went, "Okay, I'll stop." So I'm definitely curious more about the sea gods, or the sea goddess, and the different gods in the world. If there's multiple of them, if it's a whole pantheon, if they're against each other, if they're not, what the dynamic is.
No, I think that Rin at least will come into it some, based on kind of things that were talked about a little bit in Drake's backstory, which we didn't get a whole lot of information on.
No, it was
mostly hints here and there.
Yeah, and him going, I'm not talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that we might get to see more of Rin, but I don't know if it's going to become a whole big gods versus gods kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely felt the whole saying the other god's name on the boat felt like saying Zeus while on the boat, on a boat, Poseidon's sea, just saying Zeus over and over again. I could see Poseidon getting pissed at you. Kind of a feeling.
So I think we've just about talked about everything except for characters.
Yeah, which is the soul blood of this whole story.
Yeah, so just kind of in general, I think that character development was not the strong suit here.
I can agree.
Particularly in female characters. Like, honestly, at times it kind of felt like he didn't know what am I supposed to do with these female characters sometimes. as for the male characters, like Drake and Stillwater are they're the main characters.
Yeah.
Theirs weren't as bad. Like, they had a pretty well-defined character traits and personalities.
Yeah.
My only thing with them was I felt like their backstory was a little bit too mysterious. Like, I hated getting, like, one line of hints just, every couple of chapters. Like, just tell me already.
Yeah. I, by the end, you do get a little bit of Keelan's. You get a tiny bit.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, wholly revealed. It's just a tiny bit of, that might be why.
And that was pretty much the whole thing. I mean, both of them, Drake and Keelan, both had my brother...
Yeah.
Thing is going on in the back of their mind.
Something happened with my family in the past, and that's all you're getting. Yeah.
There was a whole bunch with Drake that we know happened in his past that we're waiting to know more about. And it was just like little tidbits over and over again. And like, I can take a couple.
Yeah.
But the end of the book didn't really answer any questions.
Not a lot. No, it gave you a tiny bit, but again, not a whole lot. I think when you're talking about with the female characters, I fully agree that they definitely feel underused and at times not well fleshed out. Like, I like Elaina Black a lot.
She's the daughter of Tanner Black, who's sort of currently the pseudo ruler of the Pirate Isles.
He's the one everyone fears. He's the one you don't go near his island.
You don't cross him.
Yeah, he'll punch you before he says hi, for sure. And I like her character because she does have a little bit of her dad in her. She is very much she's very much rough and tough and is the same way. But at the same time, she has a softer side towards, which I think is thanks to Keelan Stillwater, because they grew up together, basically.
Yeah.
So she's an interesting character, but again, it feels like her whole character is, dad's an asshole. I'm in love with Keelan. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that the book is supposed to be like grimdark on the sea. So it's supposed to be really gritty and, kind of dark.
It is.
And it is. No, it absolutely is. Yeah. But because of that, with the female characters, there was a lot of objectification. And it's like, on one hand, I want to understand this is a pirate book. These characters are not supposed to be the good guys.
Yeah.
But it was like all of them.
Yeah, it was literally all of them. And if they weren't a pirate, a woman on a pirate ship, they were a whore on the beach.
Yeah, because even Elaina, who's a captain, a pirate captain, there's Arbiter Beck, who has gone all through all this training. She has magic. She's here to protect Drake.
She's a badass. She has like seven pistols.
And Drake just kind of keeps leering at her a little bit. And it's at first it was like, again, he's a pirate, what are you going to do? But it got to be a little bit much.
And he does respect Beck as it goes on. He respects her as a fighter. He respects her. But it does consist through the whole entire book of him constantly going, she's hot, It's constantly said. And it's fine if a character pines after another character, but when every other paragraph it's, she's really hot. She's hot when she does this. Oh, man, I'm going to get her in bed someday. It it gets annoying.
Yeah.
It definitely gets annoying.
And there are, I guess, fair warning, there are two rape scenes in the book, one of which is the second one that happens, I felt like was handled right. It was...
Yeah, it was showing how pirates don't deal with breaking the rules.
Right.
You know, if a captain lays down the law, you follow it.
Right. And one of those laws was no raping in this town.
No raping in this town, yeah.
And somebody decided to not listen.
And he was punished.
but there is a scene with that. There's another one that is more graphic and arguably much worse.
Yeah.
And it is towards one of the few main female characters. And
do we want to go into detail?
No, I don't want to say who or why or more details. Just... It felt like it was meant to be not quite shock value, but maybe building the character of some of the people involved.
Yeah.
So for that reason, it was kind of okay, but it was a little over the top.
I think it could have been handled differently.
I think you could have developed the same characters
without a rape scene.
Without that scene.
Yeah. I think you could have easily had more of a beat up, this character getting the holy shit kicked out of him.
Right.
I think you could have done that, and it still would have shown the message I think the author was going for, that character A is an asshole, and this is how they're an asshole, and character B is stuck in the situation, and this is why.
Yeah.
I think, and shown their characters through that in a different way, that scene definitely felt, while I agree it was done for character development, I think at the same time it was to show how vicious character A was.
Yeah.
I think
that was the main point.
It was dialing up to 11 on how vicious this person was.
And
so,
there are a lot of ways to show how mean somebody can be without doing that.
Oh yeah. I mean, they do it later on in the book with another character being taken away. Yeah. You know, I'm going to start going character B, C, D, and A, so I'm going to stop there. But there, you know, their viciousness is shown later on more. So, I don't know. Yeah, like we said, I think it could have been done in a different way that didn't have to do with rape. I think rape was just a little too much.
Maybe. And it's supposed to be a grimdark book, so, I mean, it's hard to say, you know, what's too much as far as violence.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the fact that in other areas the female characters felt underdeveloped, maybe I'd...
Maybe
I'd kind of pass over. Maybe not be okay, but
it wouldn't stick out as much.
Right,
wouldn't stick out as much. Though I do think, like, if you it's horrible to say good example of a rape scene. It's terrible to say, but the other rape incident that happened in this book, I think, of course, it doesn't go into detail. The one of the characters just sees it happening and stops the pirate from doing it. Or midway doing it. I think that one was done well. I think that was to show, hey, these guys are douchebags. Some of them are terrible, but they also have a code of laws. And this is how they stop it. They have no problem punishing another pirate who doesn't follow the rules.
Right.
So,
but the woman that was attacked in that scene was not a main character.
True.
So there, her character never had to be developed.
Right.
It didn't. That scene didn't impact her development at all.
Right. 100%. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess who we haven't talked about is, we haven't talked about Tanner Black much. We've talked about him a little bit. He's not really the antagonist, but he kind of is at the same time.
He's like a third side.
Yeah, he's the douchebag off to the side that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah, basically. He's ultimately, I think, who Drake is going to have to go up against to become the king of the Pirate Isles.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like we didn't see enough of him. Well, not enough of him. We didn't see a lot of him being an antagonist.
Yeah.
But
he is 100% a future antagonist, if not the final boss.
Yeah.
Because he is conniving. He is evil. He is evil in all definition of the word. He's a douchebag. He beats the shit out of people for them to join the crew.
Yeah.
He beats the crap out of them. Because I think Keelan talks about that at one point. That's because he was originally a part of Tanner's crew, and that's how he met Elena. I do like Tanner's character. I like having that element of, we have our pirates, our main characters. They are pirates. They have no problem killing. They have no problem stealing, robbing, all that kind of stuff. But I think they do it a lot more for the glory of sailing, more for the glory of being a pirate. Yeah. Tanner seems to be an asshole to be an asshole.
Yeah.
Because he loves violence and he loves crushing people under his thumb.
Yeah.
So I definitely kind of like that he shows the other side of pirates. He shows that there are our main character pirates and then there are worse pirates.
Right.
Well, our characters aren't good guys. They do terrible things. There can be worse, and Tanner is a whole lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that's why he was there, to show that contrast.
Yeah, and like you said, final boss as well.
Final boss.
Final boss. That's where it's going.
There you go.
So that's really it. I mean, overall,
yeah,
it's not a perfect book, I think. I think stronger characterization.
Yeah, 100%.
A little bit more information on backgrounds would... it would make it an amazing read. As far as just a fun pirate adventure, it was exactly what I was looking for in that way.
It's a good time. There's fights. There's... I want more monsters.
Yes.
I definitely want more, because they've hinted to there being creatures and monsters, and they do fight a little bit when they're making the new town of New Severin. They do fight a little bit there, but it never goes into detail about those. I definitely want... I would love to have a Kraken scene. I would love to have it, not just because I want the Kraken, but I could just... Yeah. I would love to see how they would react to it.
They had the Leviathan.
They had the Leviathan, but it didn't attack them.
No, because they were not stupid.
Oh no, 100%. They were smart not to. But I would love to see them in the next few books, or however many books there'll be. I would love a scene where they have to deal with some kind of sea creature.
Yeah.
Something decides to attack their boat.
I'd agree with that.
Something to that effect. I would love to see that. Would be awesome.
I really want to explore the world
a
lot more. Both 100%. The sea creatures, other nations, other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see more of it. I want to see the rest of this world fleshed out.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think that about does it.
That wraps it up for this week. Sorry it's a little bit short.
Yeah. Unfortunately, news was short, and while this book was a lot of fun, it was short as well.
It was fun, though. I mean, we got a pretty good review in there, I think.
I think so as well. I think we talked about everything we wanted to talk about. Actually, I do think about one little thing I'm going to add in real quick. I completely forgot to mention. For me, I did feel like this book felt a little fast-forwarded. And what I mean by that is I felt like it skipped pretty quickly. And while at times that's fine, I feel like we missed a lot of character development. With that, we could have had more scenes developing characters or getting more into backstories.
I think, the backstories would have made a big difference with that. Having that fleshed out a little bit better would have gone a little bit of a ways to establishing characters a little bit better, and also not feeling like it skipped over some, because there were some parts that felt like there was something missing.
And while this is my favorite book series, and that's why I can compare it to it, one thing I can say that I wish this book done hit that, the Stormlight Archive kind of does, because Stormlight Archive has a lot of characters. Most of them have dark backstories of things that happened. Each book kind of tackles one person's backstory. And you don't always get the full story in that backstory. You get a majority of it. I wish this book had kind of done that. Instead of trying to do, Drake and Stillwater both have dark backstories, I wish we'd
have
focused on one more than the other.
Maybe.
Like still give the air of mystery to one, and then maybe tackle that in the next book.
Yeah, like maybe, because this is the first book, you just sort of hint at Drake's backstory, but give us Keelan's backstory.
Yeah, at least majority of it. Give us a bunch of juicy details. Then we can, they're so cool, this stuff, I heard about his backstory. You don't even have to give us everything, just give us more. Because it felt like we were building up both, and we got less from both because we spent so much time trying to build up both that I would prefer putting one down a little more and then giving a whole bunch of the other.
Yeah.
So
I can agree with that.
Overall, though, I've complained a bit about this book, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was
I mean,
so much fun.
It was a fun read for sure.
The characters are fun.
It's
there's a lot of
a
funny
great
jokes.
Summer book.
Oh yeah, good time. Good
a great
time.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely recommend it. I can see why it won Spiffbo, for sure.
100%, yeah.
Next week, I believe we're going to be reading Kill the Farm Boy by Delilah S. Dawson and Kevin Hearn.
Yes.
I think the first time I heard about this, I knew I had to read it.
It's goofy sounding. It sounds like it's going to be fun.
It comes out on Tuesday, the 17th of July. So. And, we're going to be picking it up as soon as it comes out.
We're excited for that one. Looking forward to it.
That is it. If you read... Where Loyalties Lie and just want to chat with us, tell us what you thought. Were we wrong about anything? Did we completely miss something? Let us know. You can find us on Twitter at BookGeeksUNC, Instagram at BookGeeksUncompromised, Facebook at 2BookGeeks, And our website, bookgeeksunc.com.
As well as don't forget about audibletrial.com/bookgeeksunc. You can get your free month as well as free 30 days as well as one free book. If there's a book you've been wanting to try out, unfortunately, Where Loyalties Lie does not have an audiobook right now. But we've suggested plenty of others. You can go back looking through our archives of books. There's so many we recommend that Audible has. You can go try out that book you've been thinking about. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So that is the end of it for this week. Everybody have a good one.
See you next week.